Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
And we, if you've been following closely, told you Wednesday night we would help you understand how to stand strong in your doctrine, in your belief. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. So we can stand strong in difficult times. We got to be strong, you all. Amen. We got to be strong. We got to be strong. I know we don't always want to be. I know we don't always feel like it. But we have to be. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 6. I'll be reading the King James Version of the Bible. Read it along with me at home as well. Ready, begin. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Father, help us this morning. Enter into a kingdom mindset this morning that will take us through until we finish our assignment. We need your word like never before. We need your anointed word like never before. Anoint the preacher, the teacher, to bring forth a word that will strengthen us in this hour so you can get the glory from your church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I ministered this word, or at least a portion of it, at House of Restoration at Pastor Orencio's last Sunday, the reason I wasn't here. And it was such a powerful word that I knew I needed to share it with you. So I'm going to share this word with you today entitled, Be Strong, Act Like a Man, and Be a Hero. Be strong, act like a man, and be a hero. Have you noticed that there is a plethora of superhero movies that's come out? That's not by mistake. Hollywood knows people need a hero. Some of your favorite may be Iron Man, Batman, Superman. Now they have mutants that are heroes. People doing supernatural things because the natural world is so messed up. And if you're not careful, watch this, church. If we're not careful, the church will forget we're the superheroes. You may be sitting next to Wonder Woman. I didn't say Catwoman. We're going to keep that out of it. But if there ever was a time that the church needs to be the church, it's now. So let's walk through this. Not going to take a lot of time prayerfully. And at the end, you are going to be strengthened. Look at someone with your mask on and tell them, at the end of this message, you will be strengthened. Yeah, tell someone at home. Tell them. All right, so we just read Deuteronomy 31. I'll read it again for your hearing. And Moses says to Israel, he says to the people of God, be strong and of a good courage. He says, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Who's them? Your enemies, whoever they are. He goes on to say, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. Moses gives this discourse to Israel after his 100. He's 120 years old now. Moses is 120 years old. He's finishing his assignment. So before he leaves, the last thing he wants to remind God's people is, even though I may be transitioning, you be strong. Write this down. Whenever there is a shift coming, God tells his people to be strong. Whenever there's a shift, we all know that we're in a shift, right?
Yeah. So we need to be reminded to be strong and not let the shift shift you out of your faith in God. Don't let pandemic make you forget God is still God. So the word strong here in this verse in the Hebrew means to harden oneself. To harden oneself. In other words, this is no time to be soft. The word strong here means to harden oneself. It's the same word. It's the same word that God used when he told Moses, I talked to Pharaoh through you. I'm going to tell you what Pharaoh's going to do. Pharaoh's going to harden himself. If you know the story, every time Moses came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh doubled down. I'm not letting them go. I ain't letting them go. I'm not letting them go. See, this is how you got to be with your faith. I'm not letting go of Jesus. I'm not letting go of Jesus. I'm not letting my faith go. You got to harden yourself. No matter how many times the world comes to you and tells you you're going to die and we don't know what we're going to do and global warming and the food shortages and this. I still believe in Jesus. You got to harden yourself. I don't care how many times a doctor comes to you and tells you we got another report. You harden yourself. No, God's a healer. But now the interesting thing about this phrase, this word, harden, and the phrase that Pharaoh says, or God says Pharaoh will harden his heart. In the Septuagint, which is the Hebrew translation into Greek of the Old Testament, the words are different. It says, play the man and be strong. In other words, God said Pharaoh will harden himself and play the man. And some of you may struggle understanding that, but I was raised by a single mother. She raised three boys by herself, and she had to play the man. I watched my mama play the man. She would cry and pray, but when she got up off her knees, she played the man. No, you're not gonna do that. No, see, this is how. Listen, I'm trying to help some single parent. I'm trying to help some little mother, little 21-year-old mother. If you know Jesus, you got to get strong. You got to get strong. You got to harden yourself. And sometimes, as a single mother, you got to play the man. Is anybody in here as a mother ever had to play the man? You had to be stronger than you knew you were. You had to be stronger than people. You had to stand up in front of opposition and say no. You gotta play the man. You gotta play the role of a man, even if you're not a man. Dare I say, even today, some men gotta learn how to play the role of a man. You can't be all soft and cotton candy, bruh. At times warrant you being the man, playing the man. I'm not going to step on your toes too much because you're already. So let's move on. So Moses tells Israel to be strong, to harden themselves, to take courage, to play the man. And then Joshua is told this by God himself when Joshua is taken over from Moses. In Joshua chapter 1, God commanded Joshua. Verse 7, God says to Joshua, only be thou strong. Now, look at the verbiage. Look at how the words are arranged. God says, only be strong. That means there's no room for weakness. Write that down. And make it in first person. There's no room for weakness in my life right now. There's no room for, I feel something in that. There's no room for weakness in my life right now. Let me help somebody. As you walk in love,
as you walk in love, as you minister to the saints, as you minister to those that don't know the Lord, sometimes you got to take a break and stay away from weak people. You can't stay around weak people all the time. They drain you. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? I'm not answering my phone for a couple, two, 3 days from this person because I know it's going to be nothing but more drama, more problems that they shouldn't know how to get out of themselves. They're going to keep asking me how to get them out, but they ain't going to do what I say anyway. So let me just be strong. Only be strong. Look at somebody and say, only be strong. I can stop right there and just go right into a whole another thing. Because some of you need to only be strong right now, which means you got to get all weakness out of your life. You can't keep talking, I don't want to get in trouble. I just got to obey God. I got to say this. Sometimes you got to leave your weak mama alone. Sometimes you got to leave your weak daddy alone. Sometimes you got to leave your weak brother. Not today. I got to be strong. Because there's a shift taking place that I have to be ready for it. Because truth be told, if I'm not ready for it, you're not going to be ready. I'm not going to be able to help you anymore at all. So I got to take a moment, separate myself from you to be strong enough to help you because I know you ain't going to be ready for what's coming. Somebody needed that word. Say amen. Amen. God tells Joshua only be strong. Josh, if you're going to fulfill your assignment, be a blessing to the people and me, there's no room for weakness in your future. He goes on to say, only be strong and of a good courage. Harden yourself, Josh. Play the man. Be heroic. You know, this really is a leadership message. So tell somebody, I'm a leader. You're leading your family. You're leading somebody. Somebody is watching you. I say this all the time, whether you realize it or not, somebody is watching you. See how strong you are, to see how you're handling things. People are watching. You're somebody's hero. Write it down to first person. I am someone's hero. Whether they tell you or not, somebody is watching how you handle life, how you go through things, how you deal with adversity. They're watching you and your bravery. They're seeing how you're not weak, how you don't quit, how you don't give up. They're watching you. You are someone's hero. Someone. So, again, just to keep the dots connected, before Moses finishes his assignment, he tells Israel to be strong. When he moves out of the way, God steps in and tells Joshua, okay, Moses is gone. You got to be strong. So he tells Joshua the same thing. And then Joshua says the same thing to Israel before he finishes his assignment. In Joshua 23:6, before Joshua leaves, he says, be ye therefore very courageous. He says, be very courageous. Watch this now. To keep all and to do all that is written in the book of the law. Now, why did Joshua add that part to it? Because that's what God told Joshua back in Joshua chapter 1. He says, Joshua, you got to be strong, man. You got to be strong in order to take the people into the promises or the promised land. You got to be strong enough to keep the word. Don't miss this. God says, Joshua, the strength you need is going to be in your ability to stay faithful to the word. That's the challenge that we're facing today, like never before. We're getting bombarded with opinions contrary to the scriptures. You got to stay strong in what you believed about the Bible 20 years ago. You got to believe it now. I don't care how many scientific studies prove there's a gay gene. I still believe Genesis chapter 1. God made them male and female. God made them male and female. I still believe that. If you, as wonderful as you are, as much as we love you and the church love you, if you tell me after church you're coming out of the closet, I'm going to still love you and pray for you and tell you that's the devil. I'm going to tell you you just got weak. Something, an idea, somebody indoctrinated you. Somebody told you, you kept hearing that you were not a male or not a female. So you began to believe what somebody told you. I'm telling you what I told you when I first started preaching 25 plus years ago. You're not gay. God didn't create you that way. You might want to identify, but you are not a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body. God didn't create you that way. I know this isn't popular, but God never told me he was going to make me real popular. You got to be strong enough to fight those thoughts, those spirits, those concepts, those ideas that keep trying to push up against you to make you something other than what God created you to be. Let me just say this in passing about the whole LGBTQ alphabet piece. Listen. Listen, hear me, please. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me with love and understanding. The devil, Satan, Lucifer, he doesn't want you to represent the image and likeness of God. He hates God and he hates everything godly, and that means you and I, because we're made in the image and likeness. I love me some me as a man. I better represent the image and likeness of God as a man. That's why I was born a man. I can do a real good job being a man. But if I got to change and have all kind of re-education and surgeries and stuff to cut me up to make me feel like I'm going to be struggling trying to be a woman when I was born a man. So as this shift, all these shifts are taking place, you need to remember to be strong. Don't fall for all of this stuff that the enemy is doing, that he's saying. It's coming from everywhere. And parents, I'm going to say this. I feel led to say this again. You need to have conversations with your children as soon as they can talk. 2, 3, 4, 5. Are you a boy, right? You're my boy. You're my girl. Aren't you my pretty girl? You're my girl. Tell them who they are. Tell them, because the schools are... I don't have time. This is another message. Tell them who they are, so they can be strong in their identity as they grow up. So Joshua is told by God to be strong, to keep the word, man. You got to keep the word. Be strong and of a good courage to do everything written in the law, because things are going to come into your life to try to get you not to do what the word says. Do you hear what I'm saying? Stop letting compromise into your life. Oh, man. Stop letting compromise into your life. If God said it, be strong enough to stand on it. That's why this message is important. So God says to Joshua, then Joshua tells the people before he leaves, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do everything written in the book. Have enough courage and strength to do what's written in the book. That means you got to read what's in the book. Yeah.
But now watch this. Let's go further. God tells Ezekiel, before he sends Ezekiel on his mission as a prophet to Israel, God says to Ezekiel, paraphrasing, he says, now, Zeke, let me tell you something, boy. I'm going to send you to Israel, your own people. Watch this now. God says, now, if I were to send you to some strange people, they'd listen to you. Because I'm sending you to black folk, I'm sorry, because I'm sending you. Because I'm sending you to people that look like you, they're going to say, well, you know, he's just talking. He's just talking. God says, no, Ezekiel, because I'm sending you to your people, they're not going to listen to you. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. Since they're so hard-headed, I'm going to make your forehead harder than their forehead, because you're going to keep bumping heads with these folk. When you get up to tell them what I want you to tell them, they're going to stand there with just as obstinate as possible. So I want you to know this morning, my head is harder than it's ever been. For your sake, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to relent. You can't push me down. You can't push me back. I'm going to keep telling you what God says, whether you want to hear it or whether you don't want to hear it, whether you get mad or not. My forehead has never been harder. I got a strong head. Because of you, for you. Notice what he says in Ezekiel 3:7. But unto the people of Israel, they will refuse to listen to you because they refuse to listen to me. See, preachers, I don't know what preachers are watching. See, the reason people don't listen to us is because they ain't listening to God. So the key for us many times is not taking it personal. Preachers take it personal. Got to be careful we don't take it personal. So that's why sometimes we got to break away like everybody else so we can get away from everything that's weak. He goes on to say, all the people of Israel are very stubborn and hard-headed. That's Ezekiel 3:7. Verse 8 says, behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces. One translation says your forehead. He says, and your forehead, here it is, as hard as their foreheads. And in verse 9, he says, I will make you as hard as a diamond. I'm going to make you so hard, Ezekiel, you're going to preach sometime until folk going to feel like, oh, we finna go to hell right now. We need that kind of preaching. I want somebody that really want to live right. Sometimes we need that kind of preaching to make you feel like, am I even really saved? That's what he's saying. Make your head as hard as a diamond, harder than stone. Then you won't be afraid of them. Watch this now. He says, don't be terrified in their presence, even though they are rebellious people. Because if you get scared, I can't use you. Did you hear what I said? Write this down then. Write down, the preacher that's scared of me can't help me. Yeah, write it in bold. The preacher that's scared of me can't help me. The preacher that's scared of me can't help me. The preacher that won't tell me the truth because he's scared I'll lead a church don't love me. The preacher that tells me only the good stuff in the Bible can't help me. Isn't that something? Let me move on. So much in this word. God does the same thing with the prophet Jeremiah. God says, listen, before I put you in your mother's belly, I knew you. Called you, ordained you, had your assignment, already had the anointing on you. to do what I want you to do. Then God says, don't say I'm a child. A child here means inexperienced, uneducated, unable to communicate. No influence. Children don't have influence. It's not till you get grown that you gain influence. So what is God saying? He's saying to you and I, stop saying I didn't graduate, matriculate from an Ivy League college. Stop saying what you can't do. Stop saying who doesn't like you and realize who's on your side. Stop saying you're inexperienced. Just like Jeremiah, God says, don't say that. You don't have what it takes. Verse 7, Jeremiah 1. But the Lord said to me, don't say that you're only a child or a boy. You will go wherever I send you. So you got to be strong enough to make up your mind, I'm going to go where God sends me, and I'm going to say what he tells me to say. Verse 8, God says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith Lord. There's no room for weakness, and there's no room for fear. Please write that down. There's no room for weakness in my life, and there's no room for fear. I have to stand up against all unrighteousness. I have to stand up against all ungodliness. I have to let people know I'm a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. I don't subscribe to that way of talking, thinking, and doing. And no, I'm not going out with you to have coffee, dinner, or a cocktail. Again, this verb, harden, it signifies to be strengthened. So this is what God was telling Joshua several times, at least three or four times in that first chapter of Joshua. God says, be strong, only be strong. What God was saying is, Joshua, as strong as you are now, you're not strong enough for what you got to do. As strong as you are now, Joshua, you got to get stronger for what you're going to face. I'm talking to somebody right now. You're not strong enough for what you're going to face next month. You got to get in the word even more. You got to get in prayer even more. You're not strong enough for what's coming. So we have to continually get strong. Strengthening ourselves is an ongoing process. Write it down, write it down, write it down. Write it down. That's why you got to keep reading the Bible. You got to continually study and continue to pray. You can't live off yesterday's prayers. You got to keep getting stronger. You got to keep getting bolder. Look how bold the world is. Oh, I don't even want. You get it. Let's move on from that. See, what God said through Moses to Israel, and what God said to Joshua, and then what Joshua said to Israel, and then what God said to Ezekiel, and of course Jeremiah, these are what's known as charges. They're encouraging commands, typically given before warfare. The general gathers the troops together and before the battle and charges them and fills them full of courage and bravery. There's nobody stronger than us, and our cause is right. And yeah, everybody cheers, and then they're all hyped up for battle. See, this is what you need. This is what we need from time to time. You need to be charged up for battle. You need to forget you're only 5'2". It don't matter. Because when everybody else go to screaming, you feel their strength too. When everyone else says we can do it, you say, yeah, we can do it. You realize you're not in this by yourself. It doesn't matter how small, young, tall, short, uneducated. It doesn't matter. We're in this together, and God is on our side, and we can do this. Somebody say, yes. One person stood up. See, y'all ain't with me. Y'all ain't with me. I'm not up here entertaining you. I need you to be with me. Come on now. Come on. Catch my energy. Catch the spirit. Come on. Come on. We can do this, right? See, I've taught you. I know it's been a while. I've taught you if you need strength, you got to sow your strength. Don't ever come here and be too comfortable. I know the cushions and everything, the temperature, but you better learn how to praise him again. You need to learn how to respond to the word right again. You need to put your energy into the service so you can receive some energy and some strength before you leave. See, then you make it sound like I'm just hollering at you. Somebody say, holla back, holla back. See, a charge is a strong suggestion, a strong personal command. I'm making this personal. God told me to make this personal to you. It's a holy request. This is not me just being your pastor, even though I am. This is God speaking through me to give you a holy request, a holy charge, a holy command that you got to make it through this shift into the next season. And there's a promise on the other end of it that God has for you. And you got to get excited about what's on the other end before you get to the end. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He saw something greater in his future. You're not going to get there until you get excited about your future before you get there. So as I get ready to close, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament does the same thing that Moses and Joshua did, the same thing God said to Ezekiel as well as Jeremiah, and of course others. But the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he was a unique apostle. Paul was unique in that he came into his apostleship just a few years after Jesus had already ascended. He no doubt was alive while Jesus was doing ministry, but he didn't believe it. And he was actually persecuting the church. And the apostles that walked with Jesus, let's say Peter, James, and John, they have a small part to play in writing letters that are included in the New Testament. It's interesting. It's interesting that God allowed someone that didn't walk with Jesus to write more in the New Testament than those that did walk with Jesus. It's really interesting, even too, that Paul said, I labored more than all of them. Paul said that. Paul said, I worked harder than those that walked with Jesus. Shipwrecked, snake bitten, beaten 5 times, and laid out in the desert, left for dead. Paul went through all kinds of things, but he never quit. Somebody needs to do a study on Paul. The Apostle Paul, he never quit. The Apostle Paul wasn't afraid to confront sin and evil or error when he came in contact with it, even when it was Peter that walked with Jesus. Oh, no, no, PC, when you're with the Jews, you act like a Jew. But then when the Jews ain't around, you act like a Gentile. Come on, bro, you can't be doing like that. It takes strength to walk like that, huh? Who has that kind of strength? Who wants that kind of strength to be able to deal with unrighteousness even within the believing circles? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to have strength. It takes strength to love people for real. Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about patting people on the back and friending them on social media. I'm talking about being a real friend. This is the kind of strength Paul had. And this is what he tried to transfer to the churches that he started and his sons in the ministry. So this is what the Apostle Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 16:13. He says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Now, some of you read that in the old King James and you just kept on going. You quit your boyfriend. You quit working with other men. Yeah, ain't no telling how you translated that scripture. But what it literally means is connected to all the other scriptures I just gave you. Particularly the one when God says to Moses, Pharaoh, the more you tell him that I said let my people go, the more he gonna play the man. Moses, you ain't finna pump me, man. I ain't letting them go. Get out of my face. That's how a man talk. I know it's kind of rare now, because folks so soft, you know, and you know, we got the cancel culture. You trying to cancel masculinity? Not here. You came too late for that. Came too late. I'm 60. Pastor told me, I'm 60. You came too late now. I've been a man for quite a while. Kind of like it. So the Apostle Paul, who not only understands who Jesus is, but he was a Pharisee. He understood also the law, the Old Testament. So no doubt Paul was familiar with all of these scriptures. So he's trying to tell the church in Corinth that, remember, they were one of those anointed churches. They had all the gifts of the Spirit, but they were just as carnal. It was a carnality. Paul said, man, this the world even doing some of the stuff y'all doing up in there. So Paul, like, y'all need some strength. All these gifts and anointings that you have, all these miracles you're doing, all this prophecy, you need some strength. So Paul says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Paul is telling the church to play the man. Stop being weak. Oh, God. You know, one of the first weak preachers was Aaron, Moses' brother. Soon as Moses go up to be with God, folk bring their gold and earrings. Aaron go to fashioning that golden calf, smoothing it, pulling the horns up. God come down with Moses. First thing Aaron did, I don't know what happened. I just threw the gold in the fire. Oh, man, Mo, you know how it is, man, sometimes. I just, hey, and it just, boom, that cow popped out. Pop, it was a cow. I was like, okay. So that's what weak preachers do. They put a cow in front of you, a golden calf, and walk away. That's a whole, let's finish this. Woo, there's so much in that. Let the Holy Ghost help you with that. Paul again says, watch ye. What does it mean to watch? It means to watch for opportunities to do good. Hear me, church. During this pandemic, during these difficult times, you and I need to watch for opportunities to do good. Stop looking for the virus. Look for opportunities to be a blessing. Be strong. Then he says, stand fast in the faith. It's time like never before to know for sure what you believe. When he says, quit you like men, that means play the man. Don't be childish. You know, children can't make up their mind. You know, they're at home and they say, I want ice cream. So you know, you take them to ice cream parlor or whatever. And then they get there and you say, what do you want? I want chocolate. No, I want vanilla. No, I want strawberry. No, I want chocolate, strawberry, vanilla. And they get on you. What do you want? See, you can't be saved and not know what you want. You can't be a mature believer and not know what God wants from you. Because if you don't know what God wants from you and don't know what you're supposed to do for God, then you're childish and you're not a man. You can't play the man. It's time for you to know what God's will for your life is. Write it down. It's time for you to make up your mind. Either God said it or he didn't say it. I'm so help me, Jesus, with the saints that tell you every 3 months, God told me to go to Denver. No, God told me to go to China. No, God told me to stay right here and shine your shoes. Just wait until you know for sure. Act like a man and know for sure what God told you to do. And listen, you got to be strong enough that if you miss it, just do it anyway, because I'm going to obey. Swear to your own hurt. Folk getting married and 3 days later, I thought he was the one. Yeah, he still is the one. Just stick with it. He's still the one. She's still the one. She's still the one. Just be a man. Act like a man. Suck it up. Ain't no irreconcilable differences up in here. Stop being childish, not able to make up your mind. Stop being weak. Stop backing up, backing down, or running and hiding from evil. Write that down. Stop backing up from evil. Evil live in your house. Oh, God, I just saw something. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I don't have no problem telling you what I saw because I got a strong head this morning. I saw somebody, it was a mama, a mother, sitting at the dinner table with your hard-headed son that lived there with you that don't work and don't support nothing, and he telling you what he ain't going to do, eating your food. You better play the man. You better get swole up in there. In the spirit realm. Don't go running and hide in your bedroom. That's the whole house is yours. You hide in your bedroom, the whole house is yours. The basement where he lived, that's yours. Go down there. Don't let him keep you. What you doing down here, the whole house is yours. See, y'all think I'm meddling. Then he says, be strong. Put forth a strong effort. Don't halfway do anything for God. If God told you and you believe it's God, put everything you can into it. Put all the energy and anointing that God has given you into your assignment. Be strong. Play the man. Be somebody's hero. Because see, since your assignment is from God, then your cause is righteous. What you're doing or supposed to do is right. If it comes from God, it's right. So don't let wrong stop you. Did you hear me? See, just like the captain of our salvation, who is Jesus, he was willing to die, and he did, for what he believed and his assignment, we must be willing to do the same. How many of you are really ready to die for Jesus? Raise your hand so heaven can see it. Mm-hmm. It's time to play the man. It's time to act like heroes. Where else will they come from? They don't come from the studios of Hollywood and Paramount. They don't come from computer-generated images. They come from the kingdom of God. A hero, by definition, is a person who displays courage in the midst of danger. These are dangerous times. In fact, Paul tells us that the last days there will be and are dangerous times. So then the last days require more heroics than ever. Did you hear what the preacher said? Since the last days are dangerous and heroes are the ones that step up in the midst of danger, then you are called to be a hero. The reason you're alive right now is you have a hero in you. Oh, it's time to let your hero out. Dangerous times call for heroic people. There are several people in here. And I say this with permission of the Holy Spirit. There are several people in here. Your last days of being a spiritual punk are over. Letting the devil punk you. You're a punk if he keeps you cheating on your husband. You're a punk in the spirit. You're a punk if you keep doing drugs and you've been in church for 20. You're a punk in the spirit. I know you ain't got to say that. I don't care. You're a spiritual punk if you keep gambling all your rent money and you got 3 kids. You're a punk in the spirit. You're weak. You're a coward. A hero is a person that displays courage in the midst of danger, and they're not overwhelmed by the circumstance. I want to talk to more people that are not overwhelmed by what's going on in the world. Coward is one who lacks the courage to face danger. That's why you stay on drugs. You stay medicated. You ain't got no courage. You can't deal with reality. That's why you got that other family. You go to her because she rubs your head and tell you you're great when you know you're a fool. Your real wife is the one who said, come on, we need to get together and figure this out. But you don't want to hear her. You go to that one. You're a coward. You can't face the problems in your family that you helped create. You can't face the problems in your own household you helped create. So you never come home. And now that you work from home, Jesus. You can't use work as an excuse no more because you don't go to work. Boy, this is rough this morning, ain't it? And I'm glad about it. I'm glad I got a hard head this morning. Write this down. Heroes do what needs to be done without hesitation. They don't think. You're trapped in the car. I'm going to go rescue you. I said this before. Heroes don't think, wait a minute. I got so much money in the bank. I got overtime. I got to go tea time. I can't go. No, heroes react. Nobody cares the race, the color, the creed, the religion, the education, height, weight of a hero. When you get rescued, you don't ask them where they're from, how many degrees they have. Paul says to Timothy, for this reason, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that's in you. Stir up the hero that's in you. Stir up the hero. I'm trying to stir up the hero in you. For God has not given you the spirit of fear. What are you afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, my brothers, my sisters, be strong, act like a man, and be the hero. Now, as I close, for sure, how do we do this? You pep talked us. How do I do this? We do this by faith. We do all of this by faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the assurance of what we do not see. Faith breeds confidence. Write it down. Faith breeds confidence. See, you need faith to have confidence of what God put in you. That's why you got to read the word and pray. If you keep reading all these other publications and listening to what the world is saying, it's robbing you of your faith in God and your confidence that you can be used by God. By faith. By using our faith we can be like our ancestors that are written about in Hebrews in the Hall of Faith, as it's called. See, the Bible says our ancestors received not only a good report from God by using their faith, but because they used their faith, they received the promises of God. See, this is what you and I need. We need to receive what God promised. Hallelujah. See, Abraham believed when he stood in the presence of God. This is what the Bible says. When he stood in the presence of God and God told him or gave him a charge, Abraham got filled with faith and became strong enough to walk out and leave his family, his country, his kindred, and go and do everything God said. Hear me again. When Abraham stood in the presence of God, the presence of God filled him with faith. I'm telling you right now, you and I are standing in the presence of God. I'm standing, you're sitting. As this worship songs are going forth, as this word has been going forth, you and I are standing or seated in the presence of God. You should be getting faith to get stronger. You should be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. The more I minister and the more you're in the presence of God, you will get stronger. The reason you're weak, if you're a believer and you're weak, you don't spend enough time in the presence of God. Because when you get in the presence of God, His presence will give you faith. His presence will give you confidence. That's what you need. Romans 4, 18. The Bible says, when there was nothing left to hope for, Abraham still had hope and believed. When there was nothing left to hope for, when five doctors said you're gonna die, you better have some hope. You better be strong enough to get you some hope. When there was nothing left to hope for, Abraham had hope and he believed. I don't know how many, I would estimate slim to none, at least very few people in this building that I can see. I can't see who's watching. I would venture to guess very few, if any of you in here, ever got to the point that Abraham got to when there was nothing left for you to hope in. When you couldn't call and borrow money from nobody. Big mama gone. Daddy can't help you. Brothers and sisters can't help. Have you ever been there? That's when you got to be strong for real. It's easy to be strong when you got folk to lean on. Oh, yeah. It's easy to be strong when you got a little money in the bank. But can you be strong when there's nothing left to hope in but God? When there was nothing left to hope for, Abraham still hoped and believed. Abraham is our father in the faith. He's our spiritual father. If he did that, we can do it. Somebody say, I can do it. See, when Abraham looked at things and saw no hope, he looked to God and expected a miracle. Somebody lift your hands right now. Expect a miracle. I don't know who needs a miracle. You're watching. I don't know. You might need a miracle. There's no hope for you. There's been no hope for you, but there's a miracle. There's always hope if you are a believer in God. Now is the time your faith needs to be stronger than ever, because now you got to look to God when there's nobody else to look to. You must still expect God to move. I expect God to move for somebody who put their faith in Him. I expect God to move for somebody that's strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I expect God to do something unexpected. I expect God to do what man cannot do. I expect God to do what man has stopped from happening. happening for generations. I expect God to break through and do what no man can do, and others said would never be done. I have the strength of faith to believe God can do anything. Verse 19, and Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body that's now old and dead and unproductive. He did not weaken in faith even though his body was weak. I want someone whose body is weak to know that your spirit is still strong. Don't let your body dictate to your spirit. Let your spirit dictate to your body. Watch what it says. Abraham didn't consider himself weak in faith, even though his body was weak, when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. In other words, Abraham didn't deny the facts. See, faith doesn't deny the facts. Faith denies the facts' ability to remain relevant in your life. Glory to God. Verse 20, Abraham didn't doubt God's promise out of lack of faith. Watch this now. Instead, he gave honor to God for the promise and became strong because of his faith. What does all this mean? Let me break it down as we finish up. The implication of what's being said about Abraham is this. Abraham's faith altered his physiology. In other words, Abraham knew, I'm too old. I ain't got no sperm left. And if I got them, they can't swim. And don't be shocked. Y'all heard worse. This is just medical terms in the dictionary anyway. Abraham said, I know I can't do nothing. But I got enough faith that God will make my body strong one night. One night. All I need is strength for one night. See, this wasn't the Immaculate Conception that happened with Mary and Joseph. No, Abraham did this. Abraham got strong in his body because of his faith. His faith changed his physiology. I want somebody to understand, your faith will change your physiology. Your faith will change your DNA. Your faith will change your blood pressure, your diabetes. Your faith will alter your physical condition. Literally. Oh. This is what happened to Abraham. It happened by faith. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. God didn't supernaturally do anything. Abraham's faith did this. His faith did it. What is God's? What is your faith in God doing to you right now? What do you need your faith in God to do in you right now? Everyone stand on your feet. Everyone, please. Everyone stand. Everyone standing. Lift your hands in this place. Don't let this moment pass you by. There's enough strength in here to alter your situation physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. Only here, be strong. Play the man. Be a hero. Your faith in God, my faith in God, our faith in God is strong enough for us to accomplish anything God tells us to do. When you believe it, when you stir it up, when you allow yourself to continue to mature, mature in your faith. There's nothing that we cannot accomplish that God sets before us. So the Bible says of Abraham, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You can only be fully persuaded when you're strong. You can only act like a hero when you're fully persuaded, I can rescue them. I can get that done. I can defeat those enemies. I can get past that. God is with me. Hallelujah. I'm trying to build somebody up in their faith so that when you leave this service, so when you turn me off, that you begin to change the atmosphere in your home, in your apartment. You begin to act like a hero. You begin to play the man. You no longer acquiesce and let things go on in your community, that you have the ability with the power of God to stop. And the last scripture in Hebrews 11, 33 and 34, but it says our ancestors through faith conquered kingdoms, plural. There's some kingdoms you can conquer. There are kingdoms we have to conquer. It says conquer kingdoms, enforce justice. You don't have to be deputized. You don't have to be in law enforcement to enforce justice. He goes on to say, and obtain the promises. There's some things that God has promised you that you got to get for your family. There's some things God has promised your granddaddy. Then you got to get it now. You can't leave it for your children. We got to get it now. And then he says, the faith of our ancestors stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, caused people to escape death. And then he says, and the faith of our ancestors made strong people out of weak people. Even when they felt weak, were weak, their faith changed their physiology, changed their psychology. Let your faith change your situation. And then it says, and it became mighty in war and put foreign armies to flight. It's time to be strong, my brothers and my sisters. It's time to play the man and not the child. It's time to be somebody's hero. Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the charge that Moses gave, that Joshua gave, Ezekiel was given, Jeremiah was given, others were given, and the Apostle Paul gave to the New Testament church. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that comes from our covenant with you. We're not going to back down, back up. We're not going to run and hide. We're made in your image and in your likeness. It's our time. It's the church's time. Because we're living in dangerous times, it's time for the heroes. And we are the true heroes on this planet. Show us how to be heroic, to bring change to our nation, to our communities, to our homes. If you're in this place and you're watching, or you're watching, and you haven't made Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, you need to do that right now. Pray this prayer after me so you can come into the kingdom and become strong. Play your role in changing the culture. Not canceling the culture, but changing the culture. Bringing the kingdom culture. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want the devil to use me anymore. Save me. Cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. Make me a new creation. Fill me with your spirit and I'll serve you. Anoint me and teach me and use me for your glory for time and eternity. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for using me. Thank you for taking me out of the hands of the enemy. Put me in your hand and using me for your glory. In Christ's name. Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.